When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First Take is presented by ESPN Bet.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take on this Wednesday. Stephen A. Smith on the West Coast. How we feeling? How we living?
What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
And as you can see, Stephen A., I'm not lonely today. I got Christopher Mad Dog Russo in the building. Good to see you, sir. Hey,
good morning. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. And, of course,
good morning, Molly.
You know I'm happy you're back in NYC. Brian Windhorse.
It's been great.
Yeah, it's been tremendous,
I do love to see Wendy. He's always welcomed on the show, and to have on the suit and the tie, very, very dapper this morning.
You know how hard it was to get the tie on between get up and now? In this tight little window? That's not easy, Mr. Smith. I did it for you.
But you pulled it off. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that there's a standard here that we set, okay?
Much appreciated.
As for Doggy, good morning, Doggy. I do like the blazer. I do like the tie. Only one problem.
A little crooked.
Oh,
you
God.
You did wear that recently. If it
no,
were not
I didn't.
Last week, it was
I
the week
I did not
before.
Wear the blazer.
It was. It
no,
was.
I didn't.
Stephen A. Smith.
Nice try, Hot Shot.
We can't
nice
all
try.
Be you. And have a new outfit every single day. Some of us reheat suits. You do. You do.
It just looks that
way because
I'm pretty damn sharp.
Some of us have to reheat dresses and suits. You know, we're not quite at your level.
By the way,
you have to work with us peasants.
Before we start out, did you see me in General Hospital yesterday? I just was wondering. Did you see Brick?
America saw Brick. That's what matters. America saw Brick, and they were here for it.
Yeah.
Were you proud of your chops, your performance?
I was yesterday.
Good.
Yeah, I was.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
That's pretty
smooth. All right.
Yeah.
The Kings were feeling good about their performance. Let's get into it. Ousting the Warriors from the play-in tournament, and they advanced to face the Pelicans, where Zion, of course, exited the game last night due to injury. Wendy will have more on that in just a minute. Sacramento's Keegan Murray scored 32 points. De'Aaron Fox added 24. And the Kings stayed alive in the play-in with a 118-94 win. Now, as for the dynasty that was the Warriors, Steve Kerr, can this big three still be contenders?
I would say I believe they can. These guys are all still really damn good players. So, hopefully we can re-sign Clay. Draymond and Steph are both, under contract. So we're going to roll it back next year.
I know those two guys have been through it with me. At the end of the day, I just want to win. And I know that's fully possible. I know the summer's going to be a lot of conversations and, trying to set up ourselves to win, and whatever that means, I hope that's the outcome.
All right, so last night may very well have been the final game together for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. It would mark the end of one of the best dynasties in NBA history. In the last 10 seasons, the trio led the Warriors to 6 NBA Finals, won 4 championships, as well as an NBA record 73 wins in the 2015-2016 season. So with that being said, Stephen A., do you feel like this is the end of the Warriors as we know them?
Yes, it has to be. Major props and an incredible level of gratitude needs to be given to them for what they've meant to the game of basketball. Steph Curry is still a superstar, make no mistake about it. Relatively pedestrian performance last night, hit 50% of his shots from the field, went 3-7 from three-point range, only finished with 22 points. You were going to need more than that to beat the Sacramento Kings last night. Klay Thompson obviously approaching free agency. I think it was I don't want to call it poetic because I certainly don't want to sit up there and try to imply anything negative of this four-time champion and one of the greatest shooters we have ever seen. But there is no doubt that he has fallen off to some degree. I still think a boatload of teams in the NBA could use his services. He ain't going anywhere. He's not going to retire. But is he what he used to be? The answer to that question is no. When you look at the Golden State Warriors, we have to think from an overview perspective, Wendy and Doggy. This is the third time in 5 years they've missed the playoffs. The third time in 5 years. Now, I know Joe Lacob and Peter Guber a little bit, and I can tell you something about Joe Lacob ain't going to stand still. I promise you that. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I'm telling you, I know this man well enough to tell you he is not going to stand still and just let these twilight years of Steph Curry's career fade into oblivion like this. This is the third time in 5 years the Golden State Warriors have missed the playoffs. I understand they got a championship recently, but it's still three times in 5 years you've missed the playoffs. And by the way, against the top six teams this year, their record is 4-19, if I remember correctly. 4-19. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. And so sometimes in life, listen, business will be the first to tell us you got to see the forest from the trees. You got to see, you got to read the tea leaves. You got to see what's coming down the pike. Well, this has been coming down for quite a long time. You got a guy in Andrew Wiggins that, you know, when he's there and he's vibrant, he can do some big time things. Far more often than not, he's inconsistent or, dare I say, an absolute positive no-show. Family issues and things of that nature. I get it. But at the end of the day, a whole bunch of folks in this country and throughout this world got issues. They still show up to work. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And so we look at it from that perspective. We look at it from Klay Thompson's perspective. We look at the youth movement that they have, and you've got some talent. But clearly, when you look at the rest of the West, as Wendy alluded to yesterday, there's a whole bunch of talent throughout the Western Conference, and people seem to, more competition seems to have elevated to the point where the Golden State Warriors are on the verge of being left behind. Joe Lacob is not going to stand for that. I can promise you that. There's no way that this is going to stand pat. The end of the Warriors as we know it, this isn't the end of the Warriors because they still got Steph Curry. But as we know it, as we see them presently constructed, it's a wrap. Trust me on this. Change is coming.
Yeah, so it's interesting you brought up about how Klay has receded. There's no doubt about that. He wasn't a $43 million max player in terms of production this year, which is why he's going to take a pay cut, probably in Golden State, but maybe elsewhere. What they had done when they won their championship 2 years ago is they'd gotten this incredible rise from Andrew Wiggins. He's receded himself. So the problem here is that even though Steph Curry is still playing at all-NBA level, what you need to compete in the Western Conference, this high level of assistant talent, just isn't there. So it's not going to improve, I don't think, with Wiggins and Klay. Maybe they can get more back to where they were, but I don't think you can bet on that. So the question really becomes, guys, what does the ownership do? Because one of the things that is an issue here, this is a $400 million team, $380 million when you include the taxes. What Joe Lacob has said on the record is that they need to get under the luxury tax. And not just because they're tired of spending money, although I wouldn't blame them if they were. If they had a team that they spent this much money on that didn't even make the playoffs, I would understand why they wouldn't want to run that back. But doing what they need to do to get under the tax, which is very doable, by the way. You have a non-guaranteed contract on Chris Paul for $31 million. You just say thank you and goodbye. You get Klay Thompson to take a pretty big pay cut. I mean, in all honesty, you should come down at least $20 million-ish. You can negotiate that. But right there, that's $50 million right there. That puts you in a whole different stratosphere, and you open up some other options. But if you're talking about not standing pat, Stephen A., the only way to really bring in major talent with where they're at right now is to keep that Chris Paul contract, add the young players that you've got and a couple of future draft picks that you've got, and go out into the marketplace star hunting. And I'm just not sure that that's where this team is going to go. I think what they're more likely to do is to say, hey, we finished the season 27-12. When Draymond played this year, we were 33-22. When he didn't play, we were under 500 in those 20 games with the suspension and the return from that. If we get Draymond to not get suspended for 20 games next year and we, you know, can improve around the edges, we can still be competitive. I think that's more likely as opposed to them going hunting in the market. But I have to acknowledge that that is still possible if they're willing to spend.
Well, first off, Sacramento's got to calm down. The Kings lightened a beam, I mean, because they beat the Golden State Warriors. And what did they do? What is Sacramento? They're not even in the body of work yet, and they got to play a road game in New Orleans to get into the postseason. So the Kings think they've made this logical. Look at us. We beat Golden State. Nonsense. You're not even, you're in the ninth seed right now. Go beat the Pelicans on the road Friday night, and then at least we can say, ah, they made the playoffs. There's something to say for that. Last year they made the playoffs, and they got knocked down the first round anyway. So Sacramento makes it sound like they've really accomplished anything. They've accomplished nothing. And as what Wendy said, what do you want them to do, Steve? Are they getting Giannis? This happens to all great teams. It happened to the Celtics. It happened to Jordan's Bulls. What have they done? How about Popovich? He hasn't done anything since Duncan and Robinson left. You win some championships, and the players get old. Salary cap comes in the mix. This is not baseball. And obviously, you know, you fade and you try to make another run with a lucky draft pick. Maybe you're bad when that great player comes out, something along those lines. I know they got lucky with Durant that one year when he was a free agent. He went to Golden State. That's probably not going to happen again. This is the logic of sports. You know, you have a run. They won four championships. Not like they never won. Yes. They won four, and now they're going to go the other way for a while. All right, Wendy's right. Maybe they'll be, you know, with Green playing more games. I got to see that to believe it. Mm. But Green playing more games, and, you know, Curry's older. This is what it is. They're a 40 to 45 win team from now into the end of the Curry time. You got to live with it if you're a Warrior fan. You won four titles. That's not going to change in the salary cap year era of the NBA.
Well, first of all, there's several points that you just made that I want to address. But before we do any of that, fix your tie. Straighten it out. Come on now. You're on First Take, baby. Get it together. Fix the tie. That's number one. Number two, I don't know why the hell you're getting on the Sacramento Kings. Yeah, the light and the beam and all of that other stuff. The point is, doggy, they're going up against the Warriors. If you know anything about that matchup, how close in proximity they are, it's a personal thing. And so I don't think that you saw the one thing that they didn't want to happen. They didn't want their season to end at the hand of the Warriors. That's what that's about, particularly in that location. And so you got to take that into consideration as well. That's all that was. They know they're the ninth seed. They got to go beat New Orleans. Let's see what happens in that matchup. Obviously, the season isn't what it was last year, and we get all of that. So their whole objective is to make the playoffs. But I think last night's celebration was about making sure you don't lose to the damn Warriors again.
You know,
Steph Curry
ain't
gonna come in there and drop 50.
You don't celebrate a play-in win. I mean, you don't do that. I don't care who you're playing.
They've celebrated regular season wins against the Golden State Warriors.
And that's
why
they're the Sacramento Kings.
It's my point.
Wow.
You understand? But number three, and let's get to a bigger point here. The question is this the end of the Warriors as we know it? You're sitting up saying, what you want them to do? Well, listen, I'm not saying that you want them to do anything. At the end of the day, what I'm talking about is you're not going to stand pat. You're not going to stand still because you got a superstar in Steph Curry who's still playing like a superstar. And so what you really, really want to do is you want to maximize the potential of your superstar. You want to make sure you exploit that to the max. What you don't want to do is sit around and have somebody as elite as he is, as great as he is, and you're just withering away because there's nothing that you can do to surround him with what's needed in order for him to still shine. That's what you don't want to do. Here's where you relent and you say, okay, what do you want them to do? To your point, doggy, is if Curry faded. Now, if there was a precipitous drop-off in the quality of play that Steph Curry's giving you, we stand down. What are you supposed to do? He gave you four rings. He gave you six trips to the NBA Finals. What the hell are you supposed to do? Then you do that. But when you have your superstar playing like a superstar, you don't stand pat. You got to figure out something. And that's what I'm talking about. They got some young pieces. You got maybe somebody will take Andrew Wiggins off your hand and you'll get somebody who isn't comatose 50% of the time. Okay. Draymond Green. Look, bro, don't get suspended anymore. We can't afford. You see these 20 games. Do you realize that had you played these 20 games, what kind of position we would have been in? We might have lost in the first round, but we damn sure probably wouldn't be in the play-in. So you understand what you cost us. You got to have those kind of conversations. But you got to try something. And I'm telling you, I'm not asking. I didn't talk to anybody. But I think it's fair to say that I as Wendy would tell you, I kind of know a few owners. One of them is Joe Lacob. And I can promise you, as sure as I can promise you that I'm going to leave from here and go down to go to some spot in L.A. to get some breakfast after this show. I'm promising you, Joe Lacob is not going to stand pat and accept. Well, you know what? What do you want us to do? We gave you four rings in six tries. No. This man once told me to my face, doggy, the Lakers have 18. Boston Celtics, it's what I want. That's what I want.
Take it easy.
17. I understand that. I understand. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. You're right about that. That's a long way off. But when you have Steph Curry and you got four, you're damn sure aiming for five. That's all I'm trying to say. He's not going to stand pat. Change is coming. Change is coming. And you know what I'm saying, Wendy. Change is coming. He's not going to stand still.
It's going to be expensive if he doesn't want to stand still.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Would you characterize this season as a failure for the Warriors?
I wouldn't, and I know that really fired up Stephen A. and Shannon yesterday. Here's the thing. Let me just ask you this question, really basic. Was this season or last season better for the Warriors?
I didn't hear your question, Wendy, because the producer was in my ear. Could you ask that again, please?
What were the Warriors better this season or last season?
They were better this season, especially on the road.
That's right. They were a better team this season. They won more games, despite the Draymond situation, than they did last season. Now you would say, well, how could you possibly say that? Because they're home. They didn't even make the playoffs. Last year they made the second round and you know, went out in that tough series against LeBron. Mm-hmm. But they were a better team this year. They actually were. Their numbers were better. They had more wins. The circumstances with the suspension and the strength of the West pulled them back. But the idea that they're withering, they're withering compared to where they were in 22 when they won. They're withering with where they were in 2018. I'll agree with you there. But this team actually is growing. They had four young guys, 22, 23-year-olds and younger, who played key roles on this team. None of them are going to be Hall of Famers, I don't think. None of them are going to be number two on a championship team. Those guys should get better. Like, I know that it's very comfortable just to say, well, it's over. But this team still has growth potential, just not to where they were in 18.
No. See. That's you being the astute NBA analyst, who, by the way, is also an incredibly nice guy, America, an incredibly nice guy. You understand? I'm a little bit more harsh than you. It's about the competition. So I get what you're saying about them. But you can't in the same breath sit on national television like you did yesterday with me and Shannon talking about the parity that exists within the Western Conference. Looking at Phoenix, looking at Dallas, looking at the Clippers, looking at Sacramento, I'm sorry, yeah, Sacramento's in the mix, looking at Minnesota and Oklahoma City along with Denver, and just literally all of a sudden a day later, judge the Golden State Warriors in a vacuum. I know they've gotten better, but in the end, who are you going against and how much better will they get? How much better has the competition gotten? That's where we are with this. And by the way, let me be very clear to the Golden State Warriors. The season's a failure. The season's a failure because you didn't make the postseason. I understand you got better. I understand you look better than you did last year. 46-36, 10 games over 500, ain't nothing to sneeze at. You were considerably better on the road this year than you were last year. I get all of that. You're home when the playoffs begin this weekend. That is the definition of failure in the National Basketball Association for a playoff contender. Now, if you stink and you're one of the, you're in purgatory and then you improve, that's different. But when the expectation is postseason and you don't make it, you have failed. Go ahead, Doggy.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you, Steve. I wish I could take your side, Brian. Who the heck wants to agree with him? But he's 1,000% right. I mean, you know, they lost a home game last week to the Pelicans in their building, and all Kerr said after the game, hey, don't look at us. The Pelicans played a fantastic game. You think Larry Bird's going to say that? You think Larry Bird, when he lost the playoff game at home, is going to say, you know what? Hey, we did okay. I can't help it. I couldn't stop Julius. This is a team that's won four championships. Teams that win four championships when they're playing for a home game at the end of the year don't lose to the New Orleans Pelicans on a Friday night, 114-109. And then they went into Sacramento 2 days later. They didn't get beat. They got blown out. I went to bed at the half. They were not winning that game. They got blown out. They made the freaking kid from Iowa look like, you know, what's his name? Allen?
Egan Murray.
Murray. He was killing. He killed them all day. They couldn't stop him.
He played great.
He did. And, you know, this idea that Draymond Green, well, you know what? We're going to teach Draymond, and next year he came in. When is he going to listen? He's not on a cold night in Cleveland next year. Is he going to think about the idea, well, you know, last year I got suspended 20 games, so this make sure I don't yell at the referee so I can play. He's not going to get, that's still his personality. He's just going to get himself in hot water occasionally. That's who he is. So the Warriors are just not going, I don't know what Steve thinks. He must think that Rick Barry and Nate Thurmond are coming. The Warriors are not, that's it. It's over. Curry's old. Thompson's not as good as he was. Green's old. They got no draft capital. They're not going to be able to bring a free agent. You can tell me more about that than
no,
I know.
You're right.
So as a result, we're, and the OKC's good. Minnesota's not going anywhere. Houston's going to get better. San Antonio eventually will win some games. I mean, yeah, certainly got Denver. I mean, so there's a lot of good teams. So from that standpoint, it's finished for Golden State. They're not winning another NBA. Steph Curry, unless he gets traded, he is not winning another NBA championship in San Francisco. I'll go one step further. He's not playing in a conference final. And he's great. We all know it. It's over. He is not ever going to play again in a conference final in the West. I'll make that point right
now. By the way, bringing up your scenario for a team that did not make the playoffs, you want me to tell you who's a success story thus far this year?
Who's that?
The Houston Rockets.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's a success story,
I
Wendy.
Agree.
You see,
right.
On the come
here's
up, the where they were to yeah. where they are,
what you're
that's
talking
a successful
about,
season.
I, Stephen A., what you're talking about there is nuance. You can because you can look at the Rockets with nuance and understanding and say they did a great job this year. You can look at the Warriors and say they achieved this year, but it didn't work out because of these four things. It's not you win the title or you're awful. Sometimes you can have a successful season and things don't go your way. The difference between the number two team in the West, which is whoever you want under Denver, and the number 10 team is negligible.
But Wendy.
Anybody in this Western Conference, other than whoever, than the Lakers and Denver,
see, Wendy,
anybody wins to me, there's no such thing as an upset. Other than the Lakers
I've
over
never,
Denver, there's no upset. All those teams are the same. And the Warriors this year, go out 10th.
Ever.
That's it.
Ever. On air, I've never insulted you in all the years I've known you, because I love you to death. I've never insulted you one time, Wendy. I'm going to do that right now. You just imitated some damn troll on Twitter. I never said you win the championship or you're a failure. I didn't say that. That's right. See how you twisted that? I didn't say that.
That's the
Those
way.
Those words never came out of my mouth.
That's the way modern NBA fandom unfortunately operates all the time.
All right, I'm just saying. But modern day NBA fandom ain't this. They ain't me and you talking on First Take. You understand what I'm saying? This is who we are. I'm saying to you, the Golden State Warriors, the expectation was playoffs. If the expectation is playoffs and you don't make it, you have failed. I didn't say championship. I said if you miss the playoffs and you're the Warriors, you have failed. Now, the reasons why could be the reasons why. You can bring up Draymond. You can bring up Klay. I can bring up Andrew Wiggins. If the man had done something consistently, I think they would have been there. I love Kuminga and Pajinski's growth. No doubt about it. I like Moody a lot. I see the youngs. I see the young dudes. I get it. But the expectation with a superstar who's playing like a superstar is to at least make the playoffs. Not the conference finals. Not the finals. Not win a championship. Just make the playoffs. Especially when you got 10 teams that got a chance because of the play-in. And they didn't do it. Period.
And if Draymond didn't get suspended, they probably do, and they're down 1-0.
But he always gets suspended.
Okay.
That's it. You can't say if he does, and he always does.
Because he's also played great in finals and been a big factor.
I agree with that.
That's the thing. That's why we go through this whole thing. That's why there's 30 teams, not two.
Yep. All right. That trio has 98 playoff wins, third most in NBA history.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. The Lakers defeated the Pelicans, will now face the Nuggets again. This time in the first round, LeBron James had 23 points in the 110-106 win. The Lakers get a rematch with Denver, who swept LA last season. That was in the Western Conference Finals Game 1 Saturday night. Here's Darvin Ham on the notion that the Lakers should have ducked the Nuggets.
It was TV talking stuff. Was that maybe
saying what again?
I'd be better off if you guys lost this game to avoid Denver in the first round to play.
Insane asylum sources say.
Sure.
Nah.
If you it wasn't sourced. It wasn't.
Okay.
It was just chatter.
Just someone that just got out of the insane asylum.
Someone before that got out of the insane asylum.
Before, Before we ask a question, before we answer this question, I'm going to do something I never do. As you know, Wendy and Doggy, I'm incredibly protective of the industry. But every now and then, there's some weak-ass reporters out there that bring up questions like that. Talk TV talk and all of this other stuff. Shut the hell up or ask a direct question. We didn't sit up here and suggest that the Lakers should avoid the Denver Nuggets. What we asked were you going to? Because the Denver Nuggets have been whipping your ass. They've beaten you 8 straight. It's been nearly it's been over a year and a half since you've recorded a victory against them. That's what we said. You see, this is the kind of stuff that irritates me about our industry sometimes, which I am very, very protective of, because I understand that everybody doesn't have the platforms that we have, guys, and I get it. But when you sit up there in front of the coach and you ask a question, could you have the decency to represent the question accurately? People weren't talking about how the Lakers should throw a game and avoid Denver. What we were saying is, would they? Do you have the courage to sit up there and say, they've been whipping our ass and we want them? Or are you going to take the path of easiest resistance? That's an entirely different question than saying, oh, the public, the media out there was saying you should avoid them. They were not, Darvin Ham. I'm reaching out to the coach of the Lakers. Darvin Ham, that is a lie. The media was not. Not that he said that. I'm talking about the person that asked the question. Darvin Ham, the media was not saying you should avoid Denver. We were asking, would you? And that was a legitimate question going into last night's game. That's all I wanted to say about that. Go ahead, y'all.
Fair enough. Well, Stephen A., no avoiding them now because they're going to face off in the first round. But, Mad Dog, here's what I want to ask you. Watching that game last night, obviously we saw the Pelicans get back in it. Zion, just when he was heating up, unfortunately had to exit the game with injury. With Wendy, he'll give us an update on momentarily. Were you more encouraged or discouraged by that Lakers win?
Well, first off, they got a bad break, the Lakers, when Denver lost to San Antonio, because of that, they got nailed with this 2-seed thing. And you can't expect any team to lose a game. In actuality, they would be better. Let's be honest, as a sports fan, they would be better playing OKC than the Nuggets. There's no other way around it. And if you say they lose last night, they get the home game Sunday against Sacramento, Friday against Sacramento, a game they would have won. Then they get OKC. That's a better match. Let's be fair. That's a better matchup for them. From a sports fan's perspective, they got a rule.
It'll be a better matchup for any team in the league, not playing Denver.
That's exactly. Especially for the Lakers, who haven't beaten them, got swept last year. I am more wrapped up right now on the Pelicans. You're right. Lakers, I'll let these guys handle that. How about the Pelicans? They can't beat the Lakers. They got a double-digit lead at the first quarter. They got Williamson playing great. Ingram's second game. They're at home. Huge game. And then they get blown out. Because they got blown out. They had a good fourth quarter. But they were down 18 in the second half. How about New Orleans show some guts once in a while and beat the Lakers in a big spot? And now they're in a death game here on Friday against Sacramento. So I'm more down on them. But if anybody thinks, Stephen A., if anybody thinks that somehow, some way, because the Lakers figured out a way to beat the New Orleans Pelicans, that they are now going to beat the Denver Nuggets or challenge the Denver Nuggets, that ain't happening. Maybe they'll win a game. I expect maybe not a sweep. Anthony Davis says, hey, we're ready to go. We're embarrassed by last year. Nonsense. Because now it's Jokic, Murray, home court, mile high. See you later, alligator. Denver will win that series easy.
Go ahead, Brian.
That's what I would
go
say.
Ahead.
Yeah, so Zion's going to get an MRI this morning on that leg. This is a basketball tragedy, I believe. This was Zion's moment. He has been working towards this moment for years. He's had so many setbacks. He's really in much better condition the second half of this season. He had worked so hard. Guys, he was going at LeBron James and Anthony Davis and winning. He was getting into them at both ends of the court. He had 40 points with 3 minutes to go. His second career 40-point game in a play-in game on his home court. This is what you want from Zion. You want playmaking on defense and want the ball and taking it to the rim on offense. Can't stop him. It was great. And then he comes up lame, and you could see in his eyes that he knew he was hurt, and he's had these muscle injuries in his legs before, and we'll wait for the MRI before we make any assumptions. But he knew that he's in trouble. And now They've actually beaten the Kings five times this year, which is unbelievable that you have 5-0 against them, including the in-season tournament. But to beat them a sixth time, they may have to do it without Zion.
Yeah.
And in this game, it was a very professional win for the Lakers because they didn't have their best stuff. LeBron was exhausted by the fourth quarter in this game. And I'll give LeBron credit. He stepped up and took the Zion defensive assignment for a lot of this game. And he did it on Sunday in what was a must-win game. But LeBron was paying the price by the fourth quarter. His legs were gone. I think he was 1 of 8 down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Threw up an air ball late, which Anthony Davis, he's dealing with his own back injury. He wasn't having a great night. It was 6 of 16, but he rebounded. The Lakers, you know, really got a great performance from D'Angelo Russell. He made a big steal in the last 2 minutes, hit the biggest shot of the game. Austin Reeves set him up. The Lakers ground this game out, and they're 14-5 in their last 19 games. Mm-hmm. And their reward, unfortunately, is that beast, Nikola Jokic. I do think that the takeaway from this game is that Zion is getting closer to the guy we want. And Brandon Ingram got benched for the last 7 minutes of this game. His team was all cheering. He's over there sitting on the bench with a puss on his face. That was a problem. He's up for an extension this offseason. Mm-hmm. That's an issue. Yep. And C.J. McCollum got benched for a big part of the fourth quarter in this game, too. This was not a high-level game. This was survival of who could ever hang on. But the Lakers did. They get credit for that.
I got a few things I want to say about this. Number one, I was incredibly proud of Zion. I gotten on him. New Orleans gotten on me. And I had to remind them that they have as many playoff series victories in their 22-year history as they do names. Okay? They're once the Hornets, they're now the Pelicans. Those are the two names, and they got two playoff series victories in 22 years. Shut the hell up and go out there and play. And for the most part, they've done that, especially Zion. He's gotten focused. He got himself in shape. And after another no-show in the regular season finale on Sunday, he showed up, showed some pride, showed some heart, was demanding the basketball, was in attack mode. That dude that we saw yesterday before he got hurt is the number one pick we've been looking for. Okay? That's who he is. And I loved seeing it. I was proud of him. I'm sorry that his leg is hurt. I think he'll be fine. But if Zion holds on to that, he's got an incredibly, incredibly bright future. I'm talking about that psyche. That's how he has to be all the time. All the time. He's got to be in attack mode because he's a man-child. And you can't stop him. So that was a beautiful thing to see. Brandon Ingram. I'm not giving him the max. And I usually don't say stuff like that because I love the brothers to get paid. I love them to get their paper. I love them to get money. But let me just say this as diplomatically as I possibly can. When you look at his face, he consistently looks a bit detached, dare I say. Just doesn't seem to be all there. And I'm going to leave it at that. Now, let me tell you something. He was gone for 12 games. And I understand that. He had an injury. I get that. And we know that Brandon Ingram is a big-time talent. We don't see it enough. We don't see it enough. And I look at him, physique looks the same, game looks the same, doesn't seem to be growing and evolving. That's hard to invest in. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, when people invest money in you, one part is because of your production. The other part is because they trust that you will continue to produce. And I don't know if the word trust can be associated with Brandon Ingram at this point. He needs to show me something against Sacramento. That's number two. Number three, Doggy, let's get to you. And what you said about the Los Angeles, now I'm not disagreeing with you. What you said about the Los Angeles Lakers, let me tell you where I'm going to crystallize your point, Doggy. You waving bye-bye to them. A lot of people are waving bye-bye to them because they're getting ready to go up against the reigning defending NBA champions. That shouldn't be the case. Anthony Davis is an all-world player. LeBron James has played all-world. Austin Reeves has been thriving. D'Angelo Russell has been thriving. Rui Hachimura, this brother can play. You got Gabe Vincent back into the lineup. You've got some pieces that you could throw in there to spell for these dudes for minutes. The Lakers, from a personnel perspective, is universally recognized as Denver being its kryptonite, but somebody capable of beating anybody else. Well, if you're capable of beating anybody else, why the hell can't you compete with the reigning defending champions? They've waxed your ass 8 straight. What you gonna do about it? Anthony Davis opened training camp. Am I lying, Wendy? Opened training camp and said, yo, we want them. We heard them chirping about us. They beat us and they swept us and they talked smack to us. They came at us. That's why I asked the question going in to that game last night. You gonna avoid them or do you want them? Because it was my way of reminding America. You remember what that brother said? You said you wanted them. You said they were chirping. You said they were talking smack. Now, Dougie, you've been around for a long time, Hall of Fame, and you've seen people that perceive to be the better team, but they talked a little bit too much, and they galvanized the opposition, and they elevated the level of adrenaline and ultimately fervor that was coming their way. That's what I want to see for the Lakers. What you going to do? We going to get swept again? Do I got to get broomsticks? When ABC shows up to the Crypto.com arena a week from Saturday night, is that going to be with broomsticks because y'all down 3-0? You lost 8 straight? I mean, can I go over a list? Let me tell you the last 3 times that the Los Angeles Lakers lost to the Denver Nuggets. Not only did you get swept in the Western Conference. Check this out, Doggy and Wendy. Wendy knows this. Regular season, opening night. Championship rings. They floss it right in front of you. Bad enough you got beat and swept. But then the schedule put you in Denver for opening night so you could watch them get their rings. All Jokic did was drop a triple-double. Ruin that night. What happened the second time they played against the early February? Nuggets played spoiler. What happened? They beat them that night. The unveiling of the Kobe Bryant statue. Remember that?
They
lost
it.
To Denver that night.
They loved doing it.
They lost to Denver that night. And then last but not least, Jokic 35, Porter 25, Murray 24, combined for 84 points, right? What was that night, Doggy? The night LeBron James dropped 40,000 points for his career. They have ruined every single moment for the Los Angeles Lakers over the last year and a half. Well, what you going to do? I'm going to be there, Wendy. I'm going to be there. All right, Lord willing. I'm going to be there right in that arena because I want to see what the hell you're going to do. You going to get your ass kicked again or you going to show up? Last time I checked, LeBron, AD, D-Russ, Reeves, Hachimura, and these boys are fully capable of doing it. I understand Denver's the favorite, but I don't want no damn excuses. You go out there and you fight. This should be a 7-game series from a talent perspective. Don't get beat down again. That's what I'm looking for.
Best player on the court is not LeBron. It's Jokic.
Okay.
Murray, I'll tell you right now, forget LeBron. I'll take Murray over Anthony Davis. Murray can shoot. He plays the tremendous 2-on-2 thing with Jokic. I love Murray. And D'Angelo Russell is very up and down. Reeves is a nice player.
But
D'Angelo Russell is very up and down. And they have enough resources from the Gordons, the Porters, to do enough. I'll be nice. I'll give the Lakers a game. I'll give them a game. They are not winning this series.
Fun.
The one thing that happened last year when the Nuggets were a little vulnerable, and it was small, in the playoffs was when Jokic was just a scorer. When he had those games where he put up over 40, and it wasn't Aaron Gordon getting those back cut dunks, and it wasn't Murray playing in the pick and roll. So the Lakers' game plan, they've got days now to think about it and figure it out. Also, I know that it would be better for the Laker fans and more enjoyable if this was a conference finals series, but in the conference finals, you play every day. In this series, there's some more time off, which LeBron and AD are going to need. So let's see what their game plan is and see if there's anything that they can do to try to make Jokic just a scorer. I doubt that you're going to solve him, but let's see what their game plan is. And let's see if the rest, because LeBron was gassed last night. If that would have been the second play-in game and it was just 24 hours rest before the start of the series, I would feel bad. But with 3 days, big difference. They're going to have a good chance, and their goal is simple. It's what every team's goal is going up against the favorite. Go to Denver and get one. Get one is hard. You haven't beat them in a year and a half. Go to Denver and get one and see what happens from there.
Listen to what you're saying. Let's put this in its proper perspective, please. The reigning defending NBA champions are clearly the favorites. Everybody knows and everybody expects you to lose. So the pressure of trying to win eradicated. You got 4 days rest before the series even starts to address the back spasm, all right, and the fatigue, right, on Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You got that going on, right? You just highlighted because of that and the fact that once the series starts, you don't have to play every day like you would be if you were in the conference finals. You brought that up to the mix. So I'm looking at all of those things on top of the stuff that I already told you about how they've been beat down by Denver 8 straight. You ain't beat them since December of 2022. This is the last time you beat them. I mean, all the incentive in the world, plus no pressure. The only pressure that the Lakers have on them is don't get swept. That's it. Nothing else. You can't do that. You can't make sure you live up to that? We're going to find out. Anthony Davis said they were chirping. They were talking junk. He said that the summer was long because they were talking so much smack and he wanted to get at them. And then on top of it all, he shows up on the court and plays 76 games and plays all world. Yeah, this is what it's about. This is basketball. We're going to see what the Lakers are made of because there's no excuses to at least make this a series. You lose in six, seven games to Denver, there's no shame in that. There is no excuse not to make this a series. That's what I'm saying.
He sounds like Bill Belichick before the Patriots played the Rams when they were a big underdog. Steve, why don't you go into the Laker locker room on Saturday and give a little pep talk? Take it easy.
He's giving him the pep talk right now.
I don't need to. They're watching. Trust me.
The pep talk.
They don't miss first take, baby. Don't let them fool you.
Denver 16-4 in the playoffs last year with 6 road wins. See ya.
Stephen A.
They're not the same team on the road this year.
All right.
You should make this a series. Don't make me come to the crypto.com arena with a broomstick next Saturday. There's no excuse for that.
We know AD wants to make it a series.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.